tova. And I'll try it out. Gemar Chatima Tova. I'm Frank Cohn, president of this wonderful TBS community. I want to thank Rabbi Widzer for graciously allowing me to address you this morning. Since this is one continuous service, I'm going to start with announcements followed by some thoughts, or maybe more than just some thoughts, that I'd like to share with all of you. I want to thank everyone who's worked so hard over these last few weeks, our clergy, our staff, and our volunteers, to make these high holy days spiritually meaningful for our community. Thank you to Rabbi Widzer, Cantor Will, Sue Cohn, Leah Kochis, Vivian Pagani, Bob Reed, Rachel Schreiman, Rob Weissman, and members of the adult and children's choirs, Ira Goldberg, Ellen Wolinek, Miles Roger, who planned and all planned in detail to make all of this happen, and a special thanks to Dennis McLaughlin and Neil Seiden and the technology crew, whose efforts make Zoom and live streaming services special for those of you here and online. And thank you to all of our board members, committee chairs and members, religious school teachers, and all the volunteers and everyone who have helped us to reach this day and continue to be a strong, thriving, and inclusive community throughout our 36 years, and more recently, through these three very unusual years. And thank you to all of you. We can't do this without your support. There'll be more about that in a few minutes. This morning's service will be followed by adult education session from our Life Learning is for Everyone program at about 12, whenever we're finished here. Family services will begin at 2 on Zoom and followed at 3:30 by musical meditations provided by Dr. Sue Cohn and Susan Sandler to help us prepare for the final afternoon services with beautiful music. And the afternoon services start at 4:30 on Zoom, and the Yisker follows at 5:45 on live stream. And I think those are all the announcements I have. 65 million years ago, I think it was November 5th, just a few days after Mike Mason was born, a meteor 10 kilometers in diameter slammed into what is now the Yucatan Peninsula, causing conditions that wiped out practically all dinosaurs, which had successfully roamed and ruled the planet for over 165 million years. Apparently, Mike survived. We humans, who have been in our current forms for less than 100,000 years, called them a failed species. The age of mammals followed. Species far larger than even today's largest elephants roamed the Earth. 12-foot-tall ground sloths, who maybe moved a bit faster than today's arboreal and much smaller varieties, could be seen on the savannas. Another species, the glyptodont, was an early relative of today's armadillos, but just a bit larger, around the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. But alas, these giant mammals also went extinct because they could not adapt to the changing climatic conditions that presented themselves then and so often in our planet's history. Today, we're confronted with changing conditions not just of climate, which is a serious issue facing all of us and that could have dire impacts, but also of zoonotic disease, extreme ideas and opinions, and so many others. And here in our TBS community, we've had to change and adapt to a number of new conditions over the past 3 years. New staff, new ways of worshiping, meeting, learning, and trying out these new things to make sure that all who belong to our community, and even those outside of it, get what we and they need. This year, we have a new High Holy Day prayer book, the Mishkan HaNefesh, and the Yom Kippur book is not the same one we use for Rosh Hashanah. It's bigger and heavier. Oy, another change. And change will continue to be a necessity in the future. Even in the 24th century, Captain James Kirk talked about the need for change in his famous speech on risk in the Star Trek episode Return to Tomorrow when he says, "They used to say if man could fly, he'd have wings. But he did fly. He discovered he had to." As we return to a somewhat more normal or familiar service this year, maybe the new normal, we continue to face changes. I know change is something that some of us are not entirely comfortable with, but as I've spoken to you about before, change is inevitable, and the need to adapt to change is critical if we want to continue to evolve, to learn new things, to help each other, and in the process, learn more about each other as we do it. Our stories become each other's stories, and we learn that while we are experiencing the same external conditions, each of us may be experiencing them differently internally, yet in a way somehow similar to others, and sharing these stories brings us closer together. But our TBS community is flexible. Well, maybe some of you are more flexible than others. My knees crack a little bit more than they did last year. We've stuck together and actually grown over the past 3 years, something that many congregations our size and larger cannot boast. You adapt, we have to. It takes some of us a bit longer, just as it takes some of us a bit longer to get out of our chairs these days. But regardless of how long it takes us to adapt, we get the support to do so from everyone in our community. And that keeps us evolving, trying and learning new things here in our religious school, in our Life Learning is for Everyone program, and in our Shabbat services that will also very soon get yet another change, a new Shabbat prayer book. I've mentioned before that as a biologist, change and adaptation take on a special meaning for me. Working in wildlife conservation means we often have to make difficult decisions about change. And so I'd like to share with you how the liturgy of these high holy days has intersected with my Judaism and career working with wildlife. But let me be clear. While the Torah does not put humans and animals on the same level, because God only breathed life into humans, animals are still important and must be cared for. Indeed, in the story of Jonah, God tells him, "And should I not care about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons and many beasts as well?" I think the prayer that most intersects with my career is the one that makes all of us a little uncomfortable, the Unatana Tokef. On Rosh Hashanah it is written, on Yom Kippur it is sealed, who shall live and who shall die? Many of you know that for over a decade, while I worked in zoos, I managed all the red pandas, a highly endangered and extremely adorable species in North American zoos. Based on genetic and demographic data, my curator and I made recommendations as to which red pandas to move to other zoos in an effort to produce red panda babies and which animals would not get to breed. We didn't want to take any animals from the wild, but instead create a self-sustaining population in North America. I was the red panda matchmaker, the Yenta. And maybe if we were successful, we might even be able to reintroduce them to their natural habitats in Asia. So I was making choices based on the best scientific information we had to determine which red pandas we would try to breed and which we'd not. We made choices based on genetic representation, successful breeding records, age, you get it. It involved many factors and was very complicated, but we held the cards as to which genetic lines we would try to continue, decisions that could save their population. Beyond the red pandas, I've also worked with some species for which the population of the wild in captivity was so small that decisions needed to be made as to which species we thought we could try to save and which ones we just couldn't because of a lack of resources, which species should live and which should die. In a little over a month, I'll be a delegation member representing the United States at a conference on wildlife conservation that brings 184 countries together to agree on limiting or stopping trade of species which are in danger of going extinct. It involves science, economics, and, yes, politics. At this conference in particular, we'll be trying to agree on steps to save the vaquita, the world's smallest porpoise that lives in the Gulf of California. It is on the verge of extinction because it inhabits the same waters in which a certain fish, also endangered, the totoaba, is being overfished. The vaquita gets caught in the totoaba nets, and being a mammal and needing to breathe, well, I think you get what happens. Zoos and aquariums have tried to breed the vaquita in captivity but failed. How endangered is the vaquita? We believe there are currently only 9 vaquita left in the world. Sadly, they will probably go extinct. Which species shall live? Which shall die? We probably don't even have a choice with this one. Back in my zoo days, we were trying to figure out how to get a small rodent to breed. The Morro Bay kangaroo rat, no, they're actually really cute, lived in habitats in California that were of great interest to developers. We managed to round up about 5 pairs. In fact, we thought these might be the last ones living and wanted to keep them out of harm's way and house them at the zoo, trying to figure out how to increase their populations. We tried and tried and couldn't get them to breed successfully. And because they have short lifespans, they gradually died, one by one, until one day, the last animal we had started getting sick. And as we examined it with our vets, it died. In my mind, a species may have just gone extinct in my hands, and there was nothing we could do about it. That day, I recalled the words of William Beebe, the first curator of birds of the Bronx Zoo, that I had read at the very start of my career. He wrote, "The beauty and genius of a work of art may be reconceived, though its first material expression be destroyed. A vanished harmony may yet again inspire the composer. But when the last individual of a race of living beings breathes no more, another heaven and another earth must pass before such a one can be again. But there is a happy ending. A colony of Morro Bay kangaroo rats was discovered somewhere else, still alive, after many years, so I didn't see the last one go extinct. They just were good survivors. Somehow, they figured out how to adapt and avoid the changing habitats and conditions they encountered so that they could endure. But my point is that the phrase, who shall live and who shall die, is something I've had to work with. Which species will live and which will die? This is not a decision that I or my colleagues should have to make, but it's been forced on us by bad decisions made by others before us that have led us to this point. Ecclesiastes Rabbah reminds us that at the hour the Holy One created the first human being, the Holy One brought that being before all the trees in the Garden of Eden and said, "Behold, the beauty of abundance of my works, all that I created for you. Consider this and do not destroy or ruin my world, for if you ruin it, there will be no one after you to make it right." And despite all the work we're doing these days to make it right, to save this planet's incredible biological diversity, sometimes we just don't have enough resources, enough money to correct the past mistakes and bad decisions. And I hate to think that I'll have to tell my grandchildren that because of hard choices, there are some animals that we will have to wait for another heaven and another earth before they can see them again. Hey, wait a second, I hear some of you say. He finally included money and maybe temple finances and the president's Yom Kippur talk? Yeah, I did. It's a tradition that the temple president talk about the importance of keeping the community alive and the need for resources, including money. And thank goodness we aren't so short on funds that TBS is threatened with extinction. But we do count on people's investment in our community to make sure that we are healthy and thriving, just as we wish for animal species. You should have received a letter from me recently appealing to you to maybe give a little more to TBS so we can continue to offer you the best experiences we can. In my installation talk, I mentioned what marine biologist Sylvia Earle said about experiences. A picture is worth 1,000 words. An experience is worth 1,000 pictures. Now, I won't give you 1,000 more words, but I do want this community to which we all belong to be able to offer you experiences, education, spiritual, prayer, and many others that you all can enjoy and benefit from. And to do this, we need to be financially healthy to maintain this building, to take care of our staff's needs, and continue this thriving, inclusive community. We can all adapt to changing conditions, and we can help you with that. So I want to thank you for your past and future support in the way of volunteering time, ideas, and yes, money. Maybe the dinosaurs couldn't plan for the meteor impact, and the Volkswagen-sized armadillos couldn't adapt to the changes they experienced, but we can, and we can act and work together to grow and strengthen our TBS community, our temple in the woods, as we go forward in 5783. I wish you a Gemar Chatima Tova, a good sealing in the Book of Life, an easy fast, and a sweet, safe, healthy, and happy Shana Tova. I look forward to our journey together into the new year, 5783 and beyond. Shana Tova.